This week, federal prosecutors accused the global currency exchange Liberty Reserve of running one of the largest money laundering operations in history. The case is also shining new light on other anonymous online payment systems and digital currencies like Bitcoin. We're joined now by New York Times technology reporter Nicole Perlroth. Welcome to our show.
Hi, Leonard. Thanks for having me.
How do prosecutors allege that Liberty Reserve laundered money for criminals?
Well, they set up an elaborate anonymous payment system, and basically what they did was they made it as easy as possible for them not to know who was using their system. So all you really needed was an email address to register an account with Liberty Reserve, and from there you could really transfer funds to whoever you wished. The key to it was the anonymity. There's all sorts of regulations for currencies, most recently virtual currencies, to know that customer and to have certain systems in place to identify your customer and know what they're trading or who they're transferring funds to. And in this case, Liberty Reserve had really set up their systems intentionally to not know who was transferring funds or who they were transferring
them. Well, it sounds like Swiss banking to me.
It does. It's sort of the online version of Swiss banking. It's a good analogy.
What kinds of illegal enterprises have been accused of using Liberty Reserve and other online payment systems?
Well, to be sure, there are some people that were using this for legitimate purposes, but according to federal prosecutors, they said that about $6 billion was laundered through Liberty Reserve alone, and they were citing things like child pornography, credit card fraud, stolen personally identifiable information, drug trafficking, pretty much anything illegitimate and illicit was being profits were being traded through the service.
Well, the head of the IRS's Criminal Investigation Division in Washington said that criminals are gravitating toward digital currency alternatives as a means to move, conceal, and enjoy their ill-gotten gains. But when he says digital currency, what does he exactly mean?
So he means things like Liberty Exchange or more recently Bitcoin. You know, I was talking to Ernie Allen yesterday. He runs the International Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and he said about 8 years ago he could call up the heads of the major credit card companies or banks and say, listen, I'm seeing profits from commercial child pornography move through your systems. How can this be? And so they set up sort of an unprecedented collaboration between the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and major banks, credit card companies, internet companies, internet service providers to follow the money and sort of squash child pornography for good, and it seemed to have an immediate impact, but at some point their trail went cold, and they found out that the reason the trail went cold is that a lot of criminal enterprises are now migrating to these anonymous payment systems where they really don't have any incentive to know who's using their systems or to cooperate with federal authorities on cases where they would be attempting to follow the money. And because of that, so many criminal enterprises are moving to these systems. And it's not just Liberty Reserve. People say that that's really kind of the tip of the iceberg. They also cite systems like Web Money in Russia, Cashew in the Middle East and North Africa. And I think there is some increased scrutiny on Bitcoin as well.
But not PayPal? Isn't that similar?
So PayPal is similar, but it is considered the gold standard. So PayPal has two huge teams that one works just on compliance, and I think they operate now in 190 markets. So this team works with every government in which they operate to make sure that they're compliant with Know Your Customer regulations. And in some cases, I know that they're temporarily suspended their service in India at certain points in time when they wanted to make sure that they were up to snuff. And then they have another team that just deals with federal law enforcement on cases where they are attempting to follow the money. So people look at PayPal as sort of the gold standard. They're very proactive about knowing who is using their systems.
Well, Bitcoin isn't anonymous. Are Bitcoin and Liberty Reserve's digital currency, the LR, similar?
They are similar, but you're right. Bitcoin, despite sort of the fact that everyone thinks it is this anonymous currency, is actually not anonymous at all. Bitcoin transactions are recorded through what's known as a blockchain, which is a public ledger. And you know, each Bitcoin has, you can think of it like a serial number on a dollar. So even if you don't know who the person is exchanging a Bitcoin, you can see where it's moving in the system. And I think in one case, in 2011, some researchers were actually able to track down spending for 25,000 Bitcoins that were stolen. So it operates very much in public, where it is much easier to follow the money. The concern really is with Liberty Reserve and WebMoney and some of these other systems that really are private payment systems and are set up to be very anonymous.
Although with a few lines of code, couldn't Bitcoins be made much harder to trace? What's Zero Coin?
Yeah, that's true. There's a couple of cryptographers at Johns Hopkins who put out a paper, they just introduced it last week with some crazy timing there, about a concept called Zero Coin, which basically is an add-on to Bitcoin. And it's right now it's purely conceptual, but the idea is that you sort of like, you can think of it like a laundry, in that you sort of leave your Bitcoins out there on the system and others can redeem them with the idea that you could redeem the exact same amount sometime in the future. It has certain caveats. One is, for it to work, every Bitcoin user would have to adopt the idea of Zero Coin, which I don't know if this Bitcoin users are probably not going to embrace some sort of universal protocol. The other problem is that it requires a lot of trust and understanding, and it's almost hard to communicate what Bitcoin is exactly, let alone Zero Coin. So I think that we have a long way to go before we're going to see Zero Coins traded. But the biggest problem, obviously, is this increased scrutiny on anonymous trades.
Well, Bitcoin's value temporarily spiked after Liberty Reserve was shut down.
That's
but
right.
You note that one person wrote in a closed underground Russian language web forum, "I had almost 6K at Liberty Reserve. Where to now? Where are many of the Liberty Reserve clients looking to go with their cash? And what happened to the money that they had at Liberty Reserve? Let's say somebody who was engaged in legal activity. Will they be able to get back their money?"
That's right. It's pretty funny. I spent half my day yesterday Google translating Russian underground forums where people were mourning the loss of potential loss of frozen funds that they had with Liberty Reserve. So federal prosecutors say that if you do have money locked into Liberty Reserve for legitimate uses, to contact them about getting those funds unfrozen. What I was seeing in sort of these underground forums yesterday was a lot of people, sort of just mourning the loss of funds they'd kept with Liberty Reserve, and also offering potential alternatives. And some of the big ones I saw offered were Perfect Money, which is another similar to Liberty Reserve anonymous payment system in Panama. WebMoney was mentioned frequently, and there was a mention of Bitcoin.
Well, how can criminals be sure that when they put their money into an anonymous system that they won't lose track of it?
Well, it's very technical, but in the case of Bitcoin, for instance, there is a serial number attached to each Bitcoin, and your payments can be tracked that way. The other, but there are laundry services. There are illegal laundry services, I think they're called Bit Laundry, for instance, that people can use to sort of launder Bitcoins. I don't know if those are going to be sort of the next target for prosecution, but certainly they seem like they will be.
In March, the Treasury Department's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network began applying anti-money laundering rules to virtual currencies. How easily will it be for the U.S. government to regulate virtual currencies, which are, by definition, stateless?
Well, I think we're seeing the beginning of attempts to regulate virtual currencies. So right after the Treasury Department issued its new guidance in March, 2 months later, you saw them seize one of the biggest U.S. intermediaries for Mt. Gox, which is one of the biggest Bitcoin exchanges in the world. And they said, you know, they weren't compliant with the Treasury Department's rules. Then you saw this big indictment the other day of Liberty Reserve. So certainly this is something that they are taking very seriously, and I would be surprised if we don't see some more indictments in the near future.
I've been talking with New York Times technology reporter Nicole Perlroth. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thanks so much for having me.